The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very, very good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov, Chodesh Tov. Pretty good. Thank you, Howard. How are you guys doing today?
Yep, very, very good. Israel's Air Force commander has hinted that the IDF is operating in the Red Sea, possibly even in the Persian Gulf. What's the implications of this?
Well, the implications could be quite substantial. Because obviously, if Iran was aware of the fact or was openly aware of the fact that Israel is operating right on their doorstep, that would almost certainly increase the tension that already exists between Iran and Israel. But for me, this story is more about the fact that it's not really a story. And the point is that the Israeli Air Force Commander Major General Amikam Norkin was actually speaking at the ceremony to exchange a commander at one of Israel's Air Force bases last week. And he kind of just let slip as part of his words, as part of his address to the audience that was assembled there, that Israel has capabilities that are stretched out in the north around the Gaza Strip area and even in the Red Sea. And what this seems to refer to is the fact that Israel has some naval reconnaissance squadrons operating, obviously using naval vessels within the Red Sea / Gulf area. And it seems as if though some of these Air Force helicopters are operating from these naval vessels and exploring the area and keeping an eye on things. Now, you know, as I say, this seems to, for me, to be surprising that it's not more of a story, because one would think that, you know, the Arab press would pick this up. One would think that, you know, other people within Israel might pick this up. You know, it might even be of interest to the Americans. I don't know. But this seems to, this would, to me, seem to be much more of a story than was made of it. And really nothing else has been said. What we can do is also put two and two together in a sense, because what we also know is that there was this incident of sabotaging vessels that took place off of the United Arab Emirates near the Straits of Hormuz a few weeks ago. And apparently the origination of the information about those, that sabotage that took place, comes from Israeli sources. Some are saying it comes from the Mossad. It's not exactly sure, but it seems to come from Israeli sources. And we're also expecting the Americans in the next few days to reveal information that will potentially confirm the fact that Iran has indeed been responsible for the actions against these tankers. And apparently the Americans are planning to talk about this even at the UN Security Council in order to embarrass Iran as much as possible, even more in the public eye. But, you know, I don't think that it would surprise anybody if we sit down and think about it for a moment, that Israeli naval vessels are operating potentially down, you know, in the, when I say the Red Sea, I'm not necessarily talking about the arm that goes up towards Eilat Aqaba, but indeed in the main part of the Red Sea, and potentially even down in the Persian Gulf, which of course is much further away from home and also in a much more hostile and more controversial part of the world. So this caught my eye as being something which is kind of almost glossed over. And yet it seems to be hugely significant in terms of where things in the world are at this stage. And I guess we're going to still be hearing more yet about incidents between Israel and Iraq. And of course, we will wait to see how the announcement at the United Nations Security Council and how that discussion proceeds when the Americans eventually choose to reveal their information to confirm that the Iranians were indeed responsible for the sabotage that took place on those vessels.
Very interesting. It's a very, very interesting, as you say, that it isn't a bigger story than it is. And you just wonder, what else is at play here that we're not really aware of.
I think there's a lot at play, and I think, as always, with, you know, Israeli intelligence and secret services, that, you know, there's obviously a lot going on below the surface, even a lot more than we think could be going on below the surface. You know, if we kind of, you know, expand our minds to the maximum possible and then, you know, take some more, it probably doesn't cover the kind of things that the Israeli intelligence are up to at the moment. But we can only just speculate about that, and a lot of what they're doing will never, ever be known.
Absolutely, absolutely. Very interesting indeed. Another story, three Arab summits were held over the weekend in Mecca. What were the summits and what was discussed?
So this is fascinating because Mecca is a city where non-Muslims are not allowed to enter. I don't know if everybody knew that. So this is the great Saudi Arabia and the holy city of Mecca. And so by definition, when you decide to hold a summit in Mecca, it means that that summit will only be attended by Muslims. And in fact, there were three summits that took place in the city of Mecca, of course, right in the middle of the month of Ramadan as well, which is due to end with Eid al-Fitr in the next day or so. But there were three summits. The first summit was a summit of all 57 Muslim countries. You heard me right. 57 Muslim countries. For people who didn't know that, that's what the world currently contains, 57 Muslim countries. The second of the summits was a summit of the Arab League, which is has 22 countries that are members of the Arab League. And the third of the summits was a summit of the seven United Arab Emirates and representatives from there. And it seems to us, or seems to me at least from what I've read about these summits, is that the real kind of person who seemed to have a lot of attention was the Crown Prince of Abu Dhabi, Sheikh Mohammed, and he apparently is not a big fan of Iran and the Ayatollah regime, bearing in mind, of course, that Iran also is a Muslim country. But apparently, you know, when it comes to at least the Sunni Muslims, that you know, there's no love lost, particularly at the moment, with Iran, and there's a lot of lot of friction going on between these Sunni Arab countries and Iran. But these summits, I think, were interesting not because, not only because there seemed to have been a lot of anti-Iran rhetoric going on in all of the summits that took place, and a lot of discussion about the Islamic Revolutionary Guards. There was talk about Iran's involvement in Yemen, but really the main topic of discussion, and it would come as no surprise, was of course the discussions around the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, and that apparently was true of the open discussions that were held in the forum, in the public forums, as well as some of the secret discussions that were going on behind the scenes. The summits were under the chairmanship of King Salman of Saudi Arabia, being the fact that they took place in Mecca and he was the host. But of course, there is also his crown prince, who has caused quite a lot of stirring, also Mohammed, Crown Prince Mohammed. And so he also has become very involved. A lot of discussion about the U.S. plan, the U.S. proposal, peace plan, and of course the Bahrain meeting that's due to take place. We do understand that in Mecca over the weekend were representatives from the Palestinian Authority, and there was an open forum discussion about what is currently happening within Gaza, within the West Bank, the Palestinian Authority area, and where things might go with the U.S. peace plan. And in fact, King Abdullah of Jordan was also there. We understand that he was not particularly eager to be at this summit for reasons which are not clear to me exactly, but he seems to be a little bit of an outsider in the Muslim world right now, in the Arab world and the Arab League. And so he seemingly had to be convinced to actually attend the summit. And he did take along with him Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas, who he deferred to when it came to the discussion on what exactly is happening within the Palestinian Authority area and within Gaza, and what's happening with the so-called deal of the century that we're all waiting for. But of course, we know that the Palestinian Authority has already rejected the idea of attending the Bahrain summit. So this is the economic workshop that we've discussed. And in fact, these three summits that took place over the weekend are apparently something of a preparation for the Bahrain workshop. Who's to know? You know, we also saw comments made by Mike Pompeo and by President Donald Trump about how likely the U.S. peace plan really is to succeed. And they certainly were seen to be backpedaling quite a lot as to whether they think that this peace plan really has a chance of success or not. But certainly from the Arab side, who knows? I mean, you know, the meetings over the weekend were certainly very interesting. And what was interesting from all of the perspectives was the lack of unity at the moment amongst those Arab countries, amongst the Muslim countries, even within the Arab League and even within the United Arab Emirates, within all of those particular forums, there was a lack of unity all across the board. And you know, it ties in a little bit to comments that were made by Prime Minister Netanyahu yesterday, where he went as far as saying that Sunni Arab states are moving faster towards peace than the Palestinian Authority. So what he means by that is that Israel seems to be making more progress in developing diplomatic relations and friendships with Saudi Arabia and other Sunni Arab countries than it is currently with the Palestinian Authority.
Very, very interesting. Really, really fascinating how these things evolved. Finally, McDonald's in Israel is under fire for not being willing to open branches beyond the green line.
So McDonald's is very much under fire at the moment. The focus of all of the demonstrations has been the fact that McDonald's apparently is participating in a tender to be able to open up a branch in the duty-free hall at Ben Gurion Airport, something that they don't have at the moment. And a lot of the senior leaders, particularly from the Samaria Regional Council, have written to government ministers to say that McDonald's really does not conform with the most basic requirements for being allowed to participate in a tender, which is clearly going to be quite profitable for McDonald's at the airport. And so they feel that McDonald's should not have the right even to participate in this tender because of the fact that they have, they see McDonald's as having implemented something of an unofficial boycott of the areas beyond the green line. And the person who is really under the most scrutiny is the head of McDonald's in Israel, a man by the name of Omri Padan. And he is quite well known for having been involved in the Peace Now movement. And he is very much seen as advocating left-wing policies and politics. And it seems as if though those views have influenced him to decide at the Israeli level that the Israeli McDonald's will not open branches beyond what he views as a political divide. So this is not really something that's coming from the international chain of McDonald's as such. This is something that's really being implemented by political views of the local Israeli management of McDonald's. And, of course, there are dozens, if not more, hundreds of stores in McDonald's all across Israel. But this is really creating a lot of focus for McDonald's, unwelcome focus. And a lot of people have decided that, you know, that it, now that they're becoming aware of the fact that McDonald's has refused to open stores in the area of Judea and Samaria because of the political views of their senior management, people are beginning to think that maybe they should be boycotting McDonald's in Israel proper itself. So I think this is going to have potentially a much wider impact on McDonald's rather than just preventing them from participating in the tender at the airport. We will see how all of this turns out. Israelis are quite addicted to McDonald's, so I think this is going to be an interesting dilemma.
Right, exactly. How deep are my political standards, and you know, how dear do I hold my ideology? Very, very
absolutely. I mean, the thing is that, you know, Israelis don't want to see local Israelis pander to the likes of BDS because this feels almost like you're supporting BDS. And the last thing that we want is to give BDS a leg to stand on and to give them some ammunition to fire against us. So, you know, that's, I think, part of the opposition that people are feeling towards this particular policy.
A few questions. Is McDonald's in Israel kosher? I think that depends on the branch. I can answer that.
It does.
And,
it does. There are some branches that aren't, some branches that are
exactly.
not. Correct.
And Mervyn says then McDonald's should not be allowed to operate at all in Israel. But I think it's a little bit more complicated than that, especially because people like it. It is 8 o'clock. Anthony Reich, thank you as always for a fascinating insight into what is going on in Israel. Here's your news with Sanati.